This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome on to yet another edition of the Kona Edge. Man alive, we keep growing, and I've mentioned it. If you've been around for a while, you would have heard me talking about it at the beginning of this year, that I've set a goal that I want to hit 1 million downloads of the Kona Edge in 2018. The good news is we are well on track, like ahead of track, if that makes any sense. I've been hitting 100,000 downloads at least every single month so far this year, and it's mostly because of your help spreading the podcast. So if you listen to a podcast and this doesn't just apply to me, I'm putting it out there, podcasts in general, because I'm guessing the Kona Edge isn't the only podcast you listen to. But if you listen to a podcast and you find something that you dig, or if it reminds you of someone, please share it. A lot of people don't even know podcasts exist, and one of the ways they find out about them is from people like you who listen to podcasts regularly and religiously and share them with other folks. And that's one way we help. That you can help podcasters grow, not just me, but across the board. And the more people listening to podcasts, the better it is for the industry, the better quality podcasts then get produced, so everyone benefits at the end of the day. So if you wouldn't mind doing that, share this podcast with a couple of your triathlon mates, particularly who are interested in nutrition and Ironman. It would be massively, massively appreciated. That's exactly what we're chatting to today, is Ironman nutrition. And we catch up with Fiona Carlin next. Today's Coach's Corner is brought to you by My Training Day Triathlon Academy, which was started in 2006 when Claire and Kent Horner realized their passion was helping other athletes reach their goals. My Training Day is home to online coaching, squad training, an online store, bike fitments, and nutrition assessments. What began with a handful of athletes has now grown exponentially, and Kent and Claire, along with 9 other My Training Day coaches, coach more than 280 athletes both nationally and internationally. My Training Day affiliated with Joe Frill in 2014, allowing access to a world of knowledge from one of the world's best-known original coaches. My Training Day makes use of tools such as Best Bike Split, Trainer Roads, and Training Peaks for power analysis, as well as Coach's Eye for video analysis. Their passion lies in helping others realize their full potential and reach their goals. My Training Day caters for any athletes, from your complete novice right through to your elite athlete. To find out more about My Training Day Triathlon Academy, simply head over to mytrainingday.com, or to find out more, head over to thekonaedge.com/coaching. You can check them out there, as well as all our coaches in the Coach's Corner. And if you are a coach or have a coaching business and you'd like to be featured on the podcast and the website, simply head over to that URL, scroll right down to the bottom, and get all the details there. That's thekonaedge.com/coaching. Let's chat some nutrition. Fiona Carlin joins us once again. Fiona, welcome back onto the Kona Edge. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Brad.
Fiona, nutrition is something we haven't touched on at all, but it is vitally important if you want to be a successful age grouper.
Yes, it is.
How do you approach your Ironman nutrition?
Yeah, so for actual racing and training, I think water is like the most important thing. More than calories, more than anything, water. So make sure when you're training, you know, you're drinking water. I always try to get through maybe 4 bottles of water on the bike in an Ironman, and that's before adding nutrition bottles. And maybe, you know, 3 or 4 on the run as well. So, you know, water being absolutely paramount. For me, for a typical Ironman race, my fueling plan would go, you know, I wake up, I have breakfast, I probably have, you know, toast with jam. I avoid peanut butter, nut butters, those sorts of things, because I think the fat in my stomach can cause nutritional issues later. So I stick to something really basic. And then I'll start drinking, you know, Gatorade, water right up until, you know, the start of the swim. Before the swim, I'll take a couple of gels just to give like a pop of energy. And then on the bike, I usually use like some sort of powder, like Infinite, for example. I'm not particularly I'm still sort of figuring out what which exact one I'm going to use this year, but you know, some sort of powder that has that you can stack with calories and get enough carbs for at least half the race. So I have one bottle you know, of nutrition drink that has half the race's calories, and then a second bottle cage with water. And again, you know, favoring the water bottle over everything, because I think dehydration in the race is just the worst. So I would rather, if it came to it, be short on calories than short on water. So doing that. And then once I complete that nutrition bottle, I just replace, you know, that bottle with a water bottle. And then I'll eat some chews and gels for the rest of the race. For me, I can only drink so much, you know, liquid goo. So, you know, having the chews for me gives me a sort of something else to focus on. Off course, I always drink off course. So, you know, on the bike, I'll grab water bottles, I'll grab Gatorade bottles. You know, if they're handing out gels, bananas, whatever, I eat pretty much anything. You know, if it feels good at the time, I'll do it. I'm not super strict about, you know, I have to have exactly this. I tend to be pretty flexible, and I think it's good to be that way, because you never know when you're going to lose something or whatnot. I think you just need to be flexible when you're training and racing. And if your body says, hey, I really feel like, you know, eating a banana right now, then maybe that's what you actually need. So listen to your body as you're out there. Once I get to the run, I always take a water bottle actually off the bike with me, because I find the water cups in races just to be so small. And I'll take a bit of time in transition to fill it up, so I have a full bottle of water to run the run with. In an Ironman, I think the extra 30 seconds is well worth it. And then I don't need to stop at all the aid stations as I go out. I think, you know, it can be difficult to drink enough water on the marathon in an Ironman with those little tiny cups. So, totally recommend doing that if you can handle carrying a big bike water bottle on your run. And by the time you're at the marathon, you're pretty tired anyway, so it doesn't even seem to bother me. And then you can just have that water bottle with you, which is awesome. Then on the run, you know, I typically do gels, but it's always kind of, I see how I go type situation. Sometimes I get up on the run, I'm like, I can't possibly take a gel. I feel like I'm going to throw up. So I'll do Coke, or, you know, things off the course. But my plan is to do gels. I take salt with me all the time. I'll put like a couple in my back pockets, and then just, the little tube things, and then sort of just spray that in when I need it. Keeping some salt in your system is good. It helps you feel better. It gets rid of the nausea if it comes up, and also stops you from cramping. So, having salt is something that's helped well for me. Once I get to the second end of the marathon, it's really whatever I want. So I'll be doing Coke, Red Bull, water, you know, whatever it takes, beer, get through the race. Not really beer. I haven't done that yet, but but I would if it came to that. I think once you're halfway through the marathon, just whatever you need to get through, you should take. So there's a lot of thinking that goes into it. I don't have a perfect nutrition plan yet. I think that, you know, the weather can affect things. If it's a hot race, you know, I might not want gels. Sometimes I find gel really difficult in a hot race, so rely more heavily on Gatorade or cola or water, and actual food. Whereas if it's a cooler race, you know, I tend to have no problems getting down gels, and I might do more gels. So I make decisions based on that sort of stuff as well. I think just, you know, have a plan, have a nutrition plan, and be flexible with it. And that's sort of been like a key to getting through. I've certainly made lots of nutrition mistakes, and I need to like work on it a little more. But you know, I think practice in training, you know, practice all your products and make sure nothing's making you sick. And when you're out there, just keep listening to your body, because if, you know, you might've trained with this drink the whole time, but if it's making you feel sick on race day, you know, call it and come up with something else. Don't keep putting something into your body if it's not working. So just being, you know, flexible and adapt on the day, I think is important to getting through.
It's funny you say listen to your body. My first Ironman, this is quite a funny story, and I'm going to tell it to you because you're Australian and you'll get it. So okay. If I say the word Vegemite, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. We've lost every single one of our American listeners now, but we've got something similar here in South Africa called Marmite. And
I know Marmite.
I don't even know how to describe. How would you describe Vegemite?
So I describe it to my American friends as being like tar. because they put it on bread like it's Nutella. And I'm like, no. It's like, it's salty. It's like salt. I would just say it's salt on bread. And I think, I mean, Vegemite, Marmite, that's fantastic for Iron Man.
Well, this is the story, Fiona, if you had to now, and this has been my entire life, if you held a gun to my head and said, mm-hmm. eat a Vegemite sandwich, I would tell you to pull the trigger. I would not eat it. And my first Iron Man, all of a sudden, I just had this serious craving for something that wasn't sweet. I was over the gels, and I picked up a sandwich at one of the aid stations, and it had Vegemite. It had Marmite on. And I ate the thing, and it was the best thing I had ever eaten in my life. And oh, to this day, if I do a long one, I always make sure that there's Vegemite sandwiches around. That's the only time I'll eat it. But it's just, sometimes you just got to listen to your body.
It is funny how sometimes when you're training as well, something that is disgusting actually tastes good because your body actually just needs all those things. And that's why I think, you know, being flexible and, you know, if your body is saying, I want this, it probably, like, that's your body telling you something. I think a lot of athletes just aren't listening to their bodies. They're just following instructions, you know, but listen, because it's trying to tell you what you need. I think that's a great story. It's a great example of it.
Cool. It's a good lesson as well. Listen to your body. Fiona, it's been great catching up. Thank you so much for your time here on the Cone Edge. I've loved our chat, and I look forward to following your progress. And good luck at 70.3 Worlds in my backyard in September.
Thank you. Maybe I'll see you there. Absolutely.
If you're going to
pop over.
Absolutely.
Okay. Thanks again, Brad.
Thank you so much for joining us on this edition of The Cone Edge. It's been great chatting. I look forward to catching up with you again tomorrow here on the podcast, where we'll be sharing another phenomenal story. Thank you for taking the time to be with me today, and I look forward to catching up with you again soon. From myself, Brad Brown, cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Cone Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for The Cone Edge. We'll be right back.